You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to it. This is Day of Days. This is the end of the week. This is Friday. Friday! You made it. Congratulations. You made it to the end of another week. Good job. And we're glad you're with us right now. And yesterday was cool, but hey, honey, did you miss me?
You're back.
That was everything about doing remote feels hectic. I know you sit back here, it's all calm and cool.
No, it's actually more hectic for me.
Oh, is that right?
It is. Was more buttons to push.
Oh. All I know is every button I pushed seemed different yesterday, but we got it done. And yeah, good job, man. Boomer packed the box and got me down there and then pushed all the buttons back here to make it work.
But I don't know about everyone else out there that's listening, but I think you should do more remote so you can meet a lot more
people.
Stop
talking right now.
I think don't y'all think so? Wouldn't you like to see Phil out and about?
This is going to go badly for you after the show. You know what though? As a matter of fact, you're right, because I will say, like, when I was in politics, my favorite thing to do was just to be out among folks. And it actually was a great night. We'll talk about it more later. The Alabama Policy Institute had an amazing night. Congratulations to them. And I'm so glad for them. It's so good to see the API sort of coming back to its roots. And that was great. All right, listen, we got an incredible show laid on for you. 3:30 today, Elizabeth Stewart. I met her at a Moms for Liberty event not long ago. She works with Emily Jones a lot up in the Madison County area. But Elizabeth Stewart's going to be on giving us an update on what's been going on with libraries, because apparently, you know, libraries are where the culture wars happen nowadays. So that's at 3:30, Elizabeth Stewart on some latest additions in the library wars with Moms for Liberty. And then at 4 o'clock today, now normally it would be Boomer and McQueen, and normally it would have been yesterday, but my live remote, much to John from Huntsville's chagrin, had to forestall that. And then lo and behold, something happened today. And God bless her, I wouldn't want to be at the dentist either, but that's where the lovely McQueen is.
She's stuck at the dentist. If you ever been there and just gotten stuck, it just makes it miserable.
Wait a minute. Maybe we should have her call in with the Novocaine.
That would actually be...
And the laughing gas.
Or with all the gauze inside of her mouth and she has to call in. That would actually be pretty humorous.
That might be the best one we've ever had.
We just let her take it over.
but in a pinch, Boomer reached out, and Lee from Huntsville is going to sit in. So it's Boomer and Lee at 4 o'clock today. Looking forward to that. And then I still got a triple dipper, so hit it, man.
The triple dipper. Three stories you've got to know.
That's right, the triple dipper. Three stories, three themes, if you will, that you got to know as we run today's show. Number one, right out the gate, I'm calling it the wrong side of everything. How does the Biden administration do that? How do they come out the gate and screw up the simplest of things like, oh, I don't know, you've got the biggest massacre of Jewish citizens or people since the Holocaust, and they come out and they decide it's time to do an anti-Islamophobia event. The wrong side of everything. That's number one, triple dipper. We'll talk about it and break it down even further. Number two, I'm calling it cultural rot. You know, part of me was looking at this as I was going to make a woke world segment, but the more I looked at it, I thought, no, that's really not even funny. That one's not funny either. I don't like that one. And then I realized what we have there are more and more examples of what I would call cultural rot. And by the way, I ended on a high note, so don't think I'm just going to depress you on a Friday afternoon. So I kind of swing it back up to things that happen that are good and make you feel better about where it's headed. Anyway, cultural rot, though, is number two on the triple dipper. And then number three, you know the deal. Every once in a while, we got to stop talking about D.C., stop talking about things that are happening internationally, and recognize that a lot of news happens right here in our backyard. You might want to know what's happening right here in amongst you. And so we do a section we call home fries. We're going to cook up some home fries as number three on the triple dipper. All right, well, let me move over here to my opening monologue, the Daily Right Side Way. And I want to remind you guys, sponsored by Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers a huge swath of our listening area, and we're so proud to have them as a sponsor. But they are the daily sponsor of the Right Side Way monologue, with locations in places like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, five locations around the Birmingham area, and they're open 7 days a week. You need medical attention, our friends at Southern Immediate Care will take care of you. So there's that. All right, listen. I think I've said it before on here, but I'm just going to go ahead and get out there. True confession. You ready? I am a self-professed spice weenie. I just am. I don't enjoy spicy hot foods. I never have, as long as I can recall. A little extra kick in the salsa, okay, but I'm just not a fan of having to fight with my food. That's just all there is to it. Now, by the way, I'm not Mr. Bland, all right? I mean, some sweet, some savory, a dash of pepper, all good, but I don't go for that same level of freak show hot that I see some people just daring themselves to eat on a regular basis. Like, why fight the wings? I don't get it. Which also means, by the way, I've got no built-up tolerance to spicy hot as a result. There's no calluses on my tongue like some of y'all. I can break out in a mild sweat under my eyes just eating cracked pepper potato chips. Well, some years ago, we took a family vacation down to the Gulf of Mexico and a cruise to Mexico itself. We docked in Cozumel, spent a day seeing the sights. We had a great time, went to a large open-air restaurant for lunch. Well, not long after we sat down, the waiter brought out some tortilla chips and a bowl of something green. It was like really thin, almost neon green fluid in a little brown wooden bowl. He looked at us, and in broken English, all he said was, "Hot, hot, hot." Well, I mean, okay. How many times here in the U.S. of A. have we gone to a Mexican restaurant, and soon after we sit down, someone brings out a basket of tortilla chips and some salsa? It's ubiquitous, right? It's part of what happens. But this was different. This was hot sauce made in the mothership of all hot sauce places. And it didn't look normal to me. But my kids, well, they immediately reached for the chips. They were eyeing that green liquid. And then my parental instincts kicked in. I said, hang on, y'all. Let me try it first. It might be really hot. Better let Dad test it for you. Well, the quick replies were something like, "Oh, Dad, you don't even like spicy stuff," because they know me so well. But I'm the dad. So I boldly stepped into the lion's den of hot sauce to see what was what. And without a moment's hesitation, with little regard for my own safety, I took a chip from the basket. I dipped it in the green stew steaming in the innocuous little bowl. And I got to admit, what happened next is a bit of a blur. I think I kept my vision, even though my eyeballs began to sweat, which I did not know could be a thing. I definitely could not talk. My tongue had lost all gainful function. In fact, looking back, I believe it might have been less painful if I had just chosen to nail my tongue to the table. I just sat there making like strange blowing noises while my kids stared at me. And I slowly reached out and just moved the green devil sauce away from my children. No kidding. I mean, ask one of them about it. I know they can recall the poignant details. Meanwhile, my wife comes back to the table, sees me sweltering from the internal combustion. And I remember us questioning why anyone would even put that on the table. I mean, really, why was that okay? Sure, I'm a spice weenie, but that was like green kryptonite in a bowl. And there's no way that restaurant didn't know what the reactions would be. So I can't help but suspect that either A, they didn't care, or B, they were getting a good laugh and a few videos off of it. But see, here's the deal. I really question why anyone would put something like that out there knowing full well what the results were going to be. And here's where I flip the script, because you know every story I tell you has to have an analogy. So I'll make my bleeding taste buds into an analogy. Liberal progressives who are pushing the Green New Deal right now are just like waiters who push green hot sauce. They don't care about the results. They don't care about the pain. They don't care about the risks. They just want their green stuff consumed by you and me, period. The Green New Deal pushers, they put it out there with little to no warning, and they act surprised when the consumer is not happy. They just drop it and run, hope nobody asks questions. The Green New Deal activists, they're just what I would call hot sauce liberals. I mean, think about it. In recent days, President Joe Biden himself has said that the pain at the pump right now is a necessary part of the transition. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg, he said that it's well known that the current electric grid here in the infrastructure we have in the United States cannot sustain the push to reach Biden's electric vehicle goals of 50% total usage by 2030. So what's the alternative then? Well, in a recent hearing on this very issue, Secretary Pete Buttigieg, he was questioned as to how we should expect the American public to react in the heat of summer when they can't get their air conditioning that is basically essential in the modern age, because the energy grid can't sustain charging millions of electric vehicles with the modern aspects of life that also accompany it. And he basically said, "We'll have to work on that." You think? I mean, already we're hearing industry experts threaten the possibility of blackouts and brownouts and based on grid capacity in certain parts of the country. If we mandate electric vehicles like they're talking about, they will all get plugged in overnight for the next day's commute, which will only serve then to raise the grid's output levels during the same time that is usually at its lowest, at night. The bulk of our current electrical grid sources its power generation from coal-fired plants, but to increase the load capacity in what has traditionally been off-peak hours, well, it's reasonable to assume then that more coal would have to be mined and burned. Knowledgeable fact finders say the cost of charging one electric vehicle overnight is the equivalent energy of 65 pounds of coal at one of our coal-fired plants. So let's just rework the grid infrastructure, says Booty Judge. Let's get out there and build more solar and wind-based systems. Awesome! Only those renewables don't currently operate with sufficient technological capability to sustain the way of life that Americans know, enjoy, and expect. So what's the answer then to Booty Judge's glib response? Well, here, they've got it figured out. Wait and see. Declare an emergency so the government can then subsidize what the private sector cannot. Hence the fact that not long ago, the Biden administration authorized the use of the National Emergencies Act to do just that. They did. Under the guise of an emergency, the federal government, not the private sector, the federal government will build and buy solar panels. I mean, ask yourself, why is the federal government in the business of corporate welfare with our tax dollars to underwrite the solar panel industry? Short answer, because solar is not yet fully viable and therefore must be subsidized by you and me. We're propping it up. And the same is true for all versions of so-called renewable green energy sources. They are certainly capable of power generation, and I don't mind them existing at all. I like an all-of-the-above policy. But listen, limited capacities and with small vulnerabilities is what we need, not just slamming us into a mode that we cannot sustain and that is not actually workable. Back to my original analogy. It's not about you and me. It's not about the pain that we will experience. It's not about the long-term consequences of a forced transition to alternative energy as opposed to an all-of-the-above policy. It's like green hot sauce on the table. The Green New Deal pushers, they don't care. The pain that we feel when we get thrust upon us is just a part of the process. It's a necessary part of the forced transition that we did not ask for. And much like the hot sauce guy at the restaurant, they just drop their plans into place with little to no warning, and they look surprised when people express their great discomfort and displeasure. The pain is necessary, they say. They know best for you, they say. The consumers just have to get over it, they say. Like a bunch of hot sauce liberals. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Well, there you have it, and I am not kidding. That hot sauce, dang. But yeah, I am pretty sure that that comparison, it fits. When that waiter dropped it off the table, he knew what was going to happen. And he just put it there, just hot, 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 and walked away. Well, that's exactly what liberals do. This is going to be hard for you, but take it anyway. That's where we are. Hot sauce liberals. Phil Williams. Right Side Radio, y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just saving the world one soundbite at a time. It just feels so good to be back in my seat, Boomer. I mean, I know you want to kick me out the door more and all that, but dang, man, it just it's like I'm back here and like you're my whoopee.
This is like your safe place.
It's my safe place.
Safe haven, this that's
is,
what it is.
It's my cry room. You know what? The idea of cry rooms hits me about like participation trophies. So I just, gosh. Anyway, hey, text lines are open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. That's right now. You can call it or text it on the same number. A couple of them already in. TL from Huntsville. He says, hot sauce liberals, it's one thing to fight your food. It's another thing to when it fights back. Yes. He says, likewise, we got to keep pushing against their mean green sauce. Agreed, TL. Thank you very much. Jeff from Indiana says, well, let me put the fear in everyone about solar power. He says, so what happens if we have an episode like a nuclear winter or volcanic eruptions causing clouds over our solar fields, in which such case we would need more power than ever, and we'd be cutting back on the grid, requiring some other power source. Apparently no one ever thinks of those things. We don't have to. You do, Jeff. Thanks for texting it in. He's not wrong, though. I mean, to me, it seems like I would say that every version of power generation probably has its issues. But the ones that we've been using now forever, and by the way, again, I don't mind an all-of-the-above policy, but for the love, taking us down the road of putting something together that is more at risk and more fragile and less capable of generation and costs more. I mean, if the price per kilowatt's going to go up, what have we gained? Jenny from Decatur, awesome monologue, excellent comparison, hot sauce liberals. And she got the emoji of some green sauce. And Nita from South Huntsville, hot sauce liberals makes sense because we've been electing a bunch of mild sauce conservatives for too long. Ooh, you see what she did there? Nice. Took my analogy, made it her own, advanced it further. I like it. John from Huntsville, Phil, make Boomer try some Mad Dog 457 sauce. I don't think I should. I think that would be mean. He's my friend. I can't do that. He says, make Boomer try some Mad Dog 457 sauce. I tried it at Firehouse Subs a long time ago and nearly died. What? He said, I'm pretty sure it has illegal chemicals in it. Also, Phil, you better get your football picks in because about 4 hours, Syracuse versus... He's right. I got it. Thank you, John.
You better get him in.
Wow. Okay, first game tonight. I got to get in there. All right, go Orangemen, he says. I know who he picked then. All right, listen, we got a great show laid on for you. And I got to say, too, last night was truly amazing. So what a great turnout. If you're on Twitter at all, follow me on Twitter, @Sen, that's S-E-N, Phil Williams, @Sen Phil Williams. I posted a picture of last night's Alabama Policy Institute dinner where I was broadcasting from. And then my buddy Greg Davis, who has Priority Talk on 101.1, who follows me in our Birmingham market, he was right after me and actually used my microphone and kept the show going. But what an amazing event. Hundreds of people turned out. Scott Rasmussen, who is the national pollster, who actually one of the founders of ESPN, who's also now one of the most successful pollsters in polling history, was our speaker, gave a very solid sort of pragmatic view of where things are and what the world is. And he actually had some I guess it was good to hear him speak a couple of things, like polling indicates that everybody believes, and he does too, that it's going to get better. And I agree with that. I do. I mean, we're going to talk about some stuff today that's kind of heavy, but I really do believe it's going to get better. I believe that with all my heart. And we're going to tell you every single day that, like my wife always says, she actually leaned over to me at some point during last night's speech, and she looked at me, she goes, and there's more of us than there are of them. She's right. It's true. There are more of us than there are of them. You guys got to hang in there. We're going to get there. But yeah, last night's event, very cool. So proud for Stephanie Smith and the crew over at Alabama Policy Institute putting that dinner together. It was just great to see API, I guess, sort of going back to its roots, if you will, which is where it had been a few years ago when I was still on staff too. And I just loved seeing the room full of people, seeing familiar faces, so many legislators, conservative groups, activists, Moms for Liberty, Eagle Forum, you know, Club for Growth, the Republican Party. Just a huge turnout for API. Great night. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.